Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Awesome. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Kelly and Phoenix, for telling us what's going on. Well, this morning, since we're all in here together, we're going to do a little bit of tag team preaching. We're going to hear from myself, from Pastor Addison and Pastor Dave, and we have agreed that none of us will preach longer than an hour apiece. Is that good? All right, so the doors are now locked. Your opportunity to escape is over. No, we're so glad you're here. And this is actually week two of a series we're preaching on Sunday mornings, talking about living a drama-filled life. If you can testify that sometimes life can be filled with drama, trouble, and conflict, would you just say, oh yeah? Oh yeah. So your life is sort of like mine. Drama can come unannounced, unexpected, and unpredictable ways that you never saw coming. And this series is so important to you. And it's very important to me, because here's what drama does. Here's what trouble can do. Here's what problems in our life can do. They can paralyze us, sabotage us, so where the best of our life gets stuck in our past if we don't learn how to deal with it. Or it can become a platform for God to do even greater things than we thought were imagined. And last week we talked about, what do I do when I come into drama? What do I do when I come into conflict? What do I do when, how can I handle drama in a biblical way? And we talked about that last week. If you missed the service, go online, listen to it. I believe it would be a blessing to you. But today we're going to go a step further, because I know when I was preaching last week, some of you were like sitting there pushing back on the idea, thinking, well, Pastor, I know that's how you handle conflict biblically. That's how you handle drama biblically. But what if I'm in an environment that doesn't care about handling conflict biblically? What if I'm in a family where I'm the only person that loves Jesus and they don't care about what the Bible says? What if I'm the only believer? What if everyone in my family is a drama mama, so to speak, right? What if I work at a place where no one values the Word of God, and so they do everything but handle drama and conflict in a way that honors God? Well, today's message is going to help you. If you're trapped in a situation or being raised in an environment or spending most of your time in an environment where no one cares about handling drama in a biblical form, today can help you, because we're going to look at a guy whose name was Joseph. Many of you know his story. He's probably best known for the coat of many colors that his dad gave him, and Dolly Parton wrote a song about several years ago. I know you know nothing about that, but I thought someone would laugh or say they know, but no one. Brandy knows Dolly. That's okay. All right, generational gap here. Sorry, but Joseph. We're going to learn this morning that Joseph was raised in a drama filled, not drama free, a drama filled environment. Let's look at his story. Genesis chapter 37, verse number 2 says, this is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, and his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but have you ever thought maybe your mom or dad loved you more than your brothers or sisters? And maybe you thought they loved your brothers and sisters more than they loved you. That's not good when that happens, but that's what happened. And in verse number 4 says, when their brothers saw that their father loved them more than any of them, they hated him. That sounds like drama. And could not speak a kind word to him. And verse number 5 says, Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. And he said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, and suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. In verse number 8, his brothers asked, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream. Let's pray. Father, we love you. The next few minutes of time, I pray you'll speak your word to our hearts and our lives, that we can be transformed to be more like you. And that, Lord, we will not live lives that are that are paralyzed, traumatized, or sabotaged by drama that the enemy tries to bring to us. But Lord, we will be people that will respond to drama in a way that doesn't exclude the promises of God, but rather welcomes the promises of God in our way, in our life, in a way that is beyond what we could ever imagine. So Lord, anoint each of our pastors today, me and Pastor Addison, Pastor Dave, to speak the words you're giving us and the words alone. Anoint our ears as a congregation to hear exactly what you want to say to us. And we'll rejoice together. And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
So in this snapshot of Joseph's life, we see that Joseph lived in a household full of family. A family filled with drama. I mean, his father played favorites and showed preferential treatment to Joseph. His brothers hated Joseph and couldn't say anything good about him or say anything nice about him. And the drama got so bad that you know the story. If you know the story, eventually his brothers sold Joseph into slavery just to get rid of him. A lot of bad things happened to Joseph. But here's what I want to say to you today in a sentence. If you forget everything else I said, if you remember this sentence today, I'll be happy that you showed up and came to church believing that you received what I was supposed to tell you this morning. Here's the deal. When you live in a drama-filled life, here's the sentence. Just because you're done wrong doesn't mean you have to become wrong. How many in this room have ever had someone do something wrong to you? Do you, in the moment that someone does wrong to you, you have a choice to make. Just because I'm done wrong, am I going to become wrong? Or it's just because I'm done wrong, am I going to do something different than what's normal, than what's generally accepted as a normal rule of practice? Am I going to become something more than what was done for me? See, here's the second thing I want you to know this morning, is that you are not responsible for the wrong that is done to you. Joseph had a lot of wrong things done to him. But it wasn't his fault. His father loved him more than he loved his brothers. That wasn't his fault. His father gave him this treatment that his other brothers didn't get. He gave him this nice jacket to kind of set him apart. That wasn't Joseph's fault. You can see in the very opening scriptures that Joseph brought a bad report. Everybody say bad. It was a bad report. But you know what the real meaning of that phrase is? It wasn't a bad report. It was an honest report. Joseph reported honestly to his father that his brothers were doing bad things. And so you and I have got to choose. Are we going to do what's right, even when we know it's going to cost us, and be a person of integrity? That's what Joseph chose to do. You're going to hear more about that later. And then later we see that Joseph, he heard a word from God. The Bible called it a dream. And rather than keeping his mouth shut about that, he began to share it. And you may say, Pastor, that was a bad idea. If he would have kept his mouth shut, then all these bad things wouldn't have done for him. And I'll give you that. Maybe that's right. But here's what I want to tell you today. Even if you and I live lives that are not perfect, which, by the way, I haven't. I haven't lived a perfect life. But even when we live lives that aren't perfect, doesn't give other people the right to abuse you. Just because you're being done wrong doesn't mean you have to become wrong. And just because you're done wrong doesn't mean that you are wrong in the life that you're living. Sure, none of us are perfect, but that never gives permission to anyone to treat you in a negative way. And so if you're here today and you're the victim of abuse, whether it's verbal abuse, physical abuse, whether you're 3, 33, or 103, I want you to know when people do you wrong, when they fill your life with drama, it doesn't really matter whether you live the perfect life or not. What you do never gives permission to someone else to treat you the wrong way. Matter of fact, I would say this. When people abuse you, it's not an indicator that something's wrong in you. It's an indicator that something's wrong with them. So many times when you find yourself being the recipient of abuse and drama, we think, well, there must be something wrong with me. But Joseph had just enough of God's word in his heart to believe, listen, what's going on is not an indication that I'm doing everything wrong. But it's an indication that there's something wrong with them. And he held on to the voice of God. Pastor, I found myself in a drama-filled society, a drama-filled job, a drama-filled family. What do I do? Well, just because you're done wrong, you don't have to become wrong. And here's how you keep from becoming wrong. You focus on what God has said about you. Now, I want you to just shout out what you would call this. On your mark, set, go. Okay. In the 80s, someone said a boombox, all right? It's pretty close. In the 80s, we called this a jam box, right? It's what you played your jam, which was your music. It's what you played your jam out of, is a jam box. And the bigger your jam box, the cooler you were. So in the 1987, if you were walking around with this on your shoulder, which is how you did it, go back and Google Fresh Prince of Bel-Air 1988. You'll see him. He'll be this tall, about as tall as a hair was. That's how big his jam box was. But you play, that's how cool you were. And we didn't have, 37,000 songs on our iPad. So we either had to play a tape or you could go really old school and you could listen to the radio. And the way you found a station on the radio, I know most of you don't walk around with jam boxes, so I'm taking you back to kindergarten and service today. You kind of scan through the stations until you found something you kind of liked. And if you didn't like it, you kept on scanning. And all these guys are preaching today. What's up with that? You just kept scanning until you found something you liked. And you just kept on scanning until the... Some of y'all are getting into that. That's your jam, right? Hey, that's legal to play in church right there. That's awesome. Yeah. So you scroll through until you found the thing you wanted to hear. You kept scrolling. You got to go through a lot of static to get there. You got to go through a lot of junk to get there. But you keep scrolling until you find what you need, what you're looking for. Can I tell you, in your life today, there's always going to be opportunities for you to dwell on drama. Joseph had brothers that were speaking nothing but negativity to them, bringing up nothing but drama to him. But he chose, instead of listening to all of their junk, to listen to that one word of God that he had. You and I, when we are living in a drama-filled life, you've got to understand, listen, just because I don't listen to those stations, listen, we're not listening right now, but if I turn it back up, guess what? It's still there. Just because you stop listening to drama doesn't mean it's going to stop being there. Doesn't mean that if you ignore it, it's going to go away. But it does mean that you are never outside of God's radar, outside of God's words to hear from him. And I want to close this morning my part by telling you, continually, how do I, even when I'm done wrong, I don't become wrong. Continually tune in to God's word. Listen, here's a few of God's words he said about each of us. That God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you, that you could have everlasting life. Zechariah reminds us that we are the apple of God's eye. That if someone touches you, it's as if they're touching him. Jeremiah 29:11 says that God knows the plans for you and for me. They're plans to prosper us. They're for good and not of evil. To give us a hope and a future. Romans chapter 8 reminds us that in all things we are more than conquerors. How do I go through drama and when I'm done wrong, I don't become wrong? You remember, and you choose to dwell on the words of God rather than the people around you. You do that and you can live and learn the art of being drama free. Pastor Dave.
You know, it's really interesting. We entertain ourselves with drama, do we not? Who in here likes Law and Order? Chicago Fire? Chicago PD? Anything? We do. We entertain ourselves with drama. But you know what? Joseph did not entertain himself with drama. Man, look at the life that he was in. I want to go into, it's a good chance for me to plug this in, parents. Have your kids bring a Bible to kids' church. If they don't have it, they're going to be left out. So please, have your kids bring the word. But if you open up your Bible to Genesis 37:3, I want to focus on one thing here. And it says, but his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. Joseph was in a tough spot, was he not? Can you imagine? Who's had a family like that where you were just always picked on? You were the youngest. I was the youngest. They didn't hate me, but I was picked on day and night until they moved out of the house. I didn't have. Anybody else have a situation like that? You were just always picked on? But the thing is with Joseph, they hated Joseph. He was in a tough situation. He had a father that loved him, and on the other hand, he had brothers that hated him. Wow. Joseph's life. You know, sometimes when we read what's in the Bible, it's hard for us to put ourselves into this guy's shoes. But one thing is about Joseph. Even though that he was treated the way he was in his house, he still honored his father. And you can read it where it says that when Joseph's dad, Jacob, asked him to go out and say, hey, go check on your brothers. He knew they hated him. But what did he say? Father, yes, I'll go. He was going to honor his father no matter what, even though he knew what he was getting himself into. A bunch of brothers had no good for him. So when he got there, y'all know the story, don't you? They wanted to kill him. They hated him so much, they were going to kill him. But they had another plan. It's like, oh no, let's don't kill him. That'll put the blood on our hands. So they just throw him in a well. Jiminy crickets. Gonna put him in a well and let him starve and die in a well? What's the difference? So then they saw some Ishmaelite traders coming by. I think sometimes we don't grasp what this guy went through in his life. We just kind of read through it. So here it is. The Ishmaelite traders come through and they're like, hey, let's get him out. Let's make a few bucks. Come on, we need a few extra bucks to go spend on. So they pull him out and they sell him for 20 pieces of silver. We don't realize what he had to go through in order to get to Egypt. Some say it's probably about 30 days or so that he was dragged, probably dragged, chained up, dragged all the way up to Egypt. And when he got to Egypt, they sold him as a slave. They sold him. Can we get that? This guy right here has never been mentioned in the Bible as having a wrong attitude, a bad disposition on life, but he was sold. He was put up there for display, and they're like, let me get the highest bidder. Anybody got 20 pieces of silver for this guy? 20 pieces of silver. Do I got 30 pieces? 30 pieces. Anybody give me 30 pieces? Oh, we got 30 pieces sold to Potiphar. He was sold. I don't know how much he was sold for, but he was sold like merchandise, like property. But still look at him. He's still smiling, grinning ear to ear. And well, I don't know if you ever looked down on me like that, but unless you get as tall as your dad. But you know what Joseph did? Joseph found himself in a place that we would expect him to be what? Broken. But he wasn't. A place that would destroy his character. But was it destroyed? No. Lost all sense of purpose. He was a slave. He had no hope for a future. But what you read right after that is really interesting. Because when Potiphar got around this guy, he realized that God's hand was upon him. That God's favor was with him. You see, even in a drama-filled life that we have, God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. And Joseph focused. He focused on God. He focused. But his life, one thing is about Joseph, his life does show the fruit of his faithfulness to God. We also find ourselves in situations where we have to choose to follow God's plan or to stay away from drama. You know, it's easy sometimes to get sucked into drama, isn't it? You start hearing it, and you start just getting into it. You're like, oh, wow. I mean, listen, watch the movies. You know, we go to the movies and pay big bucks to be filled with drama. But that's just our culture today. It's crazy, but it is. But Joseph's life shows the fruit of keeping his eyes on God. Honestly, I don't know how he did it. How did Joseph do it? I don't know. I mean, he didn't have the indwelling of the Spirit like we have today. That didn't come until after Jesus died and went to heaven and says, hey, go wait. How did he do it? He didn't have the whole entire word that we have. I don't even know what he had. Or even if he had anything. Wasn't even written then. So how did this guy, Joseph, go through what he went through in his drama-filled life and still fulfill God's purpose? How did he do it? That's a big question. Only thing that we can see is the fruit of his life. God's hand was upon him. To me, that shows me that Joseph, no matter what was around him, no matter what situation he was in, he was keeping his eyes focused on God. He wasn't going to allow his situations to determine his life. He knew, because he loved God and he trusted God, that God had to have a plan. You know, here he is. He gets out of being sold into slavery. And there he goes. He's in the house. He's living a great life. Then he gets thrown in prison again. Jeepers, this guy had everything going against him except the hand of God on his life. It was the hand of God. So how do we do it? That's the question. What can we take away? How can we live in a drama-filled world? It's living by the Spirit. Listen what Paul wrote. He wrote it in Ephesians 1:13. He says, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit. Man, giving you the Holy Spirit. And Paul goes on in Ephesians 4, it says, get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all anger. Get rid of all rage and harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead what? Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Joseph chose to follow his own convictions. See, no matter where you are in life, no matter what you face, whether it was your fault or not, or as a child placed in a hard situation, as Pastor said, we choose to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, to produce in us the fruit of His Spirit. What are the fruits? Paul wrote it in Galatians. What? Love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. That's what we see in his life. If you look in that in his life, and you look at the character of Joseph, we see this in his life. We see it. And he goes on to say, those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. But get this, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Man, and we see it in the conclusion of his life. If you read at the end of Joseph's story, his life, I mean, 13 years it took him, and he was second of Egypt. Second command of Egypt. I mean, what would happen if he would have got a bad attitude? Threw away his life. Started cursing God. What would have happened? He would have missed it. What are we missing when we get pulled into that drama? But we see it. You see it at the last part where Joseph says, hey, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset. And don't be angry with yourself for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your life. You choose. We choose to live by the Spirit. Thank you.
Well, now that they're done with their 2 hours, you guys ready for the third hour? All right. Everyone buckle in, strap up your boot laces. Here we go. So we've been talking about Joseph, and a lot of people know the different decisions and the things that Joseph faced. And so a lot of you guys know a lot of Joseph's traits that he had. But whenever you think of Joseph, just spit it out at me. What are some things that you think of? Loyal? Persistent? What else? I'm sorry? Faithful? Honest? Courageous? Kind? Endurance? Godly? Yeah. Those are all really good ones, but the word that I'm looking for is integrity. Joseph was a man of integrity. And whenever I think of integrity, here's what I think integrity is. Integrity is making the decision to do the right thing, no matter who is watching, no matter what people may say, no matter what you are going through, no matter what has happened to you in the past, and no matter what the outcome may be. Can we agree on that? That's a pretty good definition of integrity, I think. And whenever I think of integrity, if I can get some help, Tripp, if you don't mind going ahead and coming up. Whenever I think of integrity, I think of a box, like this red box right here that Tripp's bringing up. Now, Tripp, I'll let you go ahead and examine this box. I'll let you guys take a look at the box. So you guys think that looks like a pretty solid box? What do you mean, no? It's like taped up with duct tape. Come on. Here, like, throw that on the ground. Show them. That's a, I mean, this is a pretty good box. I mean, I kicked it. It's still in a square shape. I mean, I'm pushing on it. Nothing's happening. What do you think? Pretty good box. Integrity's still intact on that box. All right, if we go and we add some weight to the top of this box, do you think that this box will be able to withstand it? Yeah, so Tripp, you're supposed to make that look a lot easier. The box is still intact. The box is holding up all of this weight, and I'm going ahead and telling you, there's some pretty good weight in this box. Will you go ahead and pull this one out for me so that way they can kind of, can you get it? You sure? Don't drop that on your toe. Please don't drop that on your toes. This box is filled with these big dudes. These monster dudes. These big guys right here. It's a lot of weight that we're throwing on top of this box. And the reason why this little bitty red box right here can withstand it is because this box has integrity. Its integrity is still intact. You can put this, I guess that's a Pampers box or Parents' Choice, like training pants box filled with rocks. Not diapers, but rocks. So whenever I think of poking holes inside of our integrity or diminishing our integrity, here's what I think that looks like. I think when you make decisions that are bad and you don't do the right thing, we put slits in the integrity of the box. And it's going to look like this knife that Tripp's got. You might say, I'll watch this movie. No one knows that I'm watching it. It'll be okay. It's just this one time. And you cut a slit in the box. A big old giant slit in the box. Oh, did you guys hear that? Show them that slit. Yeah. I've had the worst day. I'll have a drink, but just this once. You heard that slit. We'll know when we've gone too far. It'll be okay. We're not going to go all the way. They were a jerk to me first. Who cares if I key their car? If I don't smoke this weed, they'll think I'm a coward. If I don't do it, I won't be able to pay the bills, parents, or feed my kids. What you guys thinking about the integrity of the box now? We're cutting slit out here. Let me see this knife. We're cutting slit after slit. We're making stabs and cuts. You make terrible decision after terrible decision, and you're diminishing the integrity of the box. This box has all these cuts in it and all these vital places. We are ruining the foundation of the box. We're ruining the foundation of our life. So what do you guys think? If we drop all these rocks on it, you think this box is going to stand up? I think something's going to happen somewhere in this region. I'm going to stand back because I get the feeling things might not go so well. Wait a sec. Eventually, you make terrible choices. You say, yeah, I'm going to go to that party. Yeah, I'm going to do these drugs. Yeah, I'm going to watch that movie. Yeah, I'm going to go make all these terrible decisions. I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to trust God in these areas of my life. And before you know it, I really hope that tile was scratch resistant. Before you know it, your life is falling apart. And it's because you lacked integrity. Joseph, he had all of these terrible things happen to him. And no matter what he faced, he always made the right decision. When people were watching, he made the right decision. When people weren't watching, he made the right decision. When he faced prison, he made the right decision. When he faced being sold into slavery, he was still a good person. Joseph was a model of integrity. Tripp, thank you so much for your help. I appreciate it. You can leave that there. So how do we keep our integrity intact? I think it all comes down to this one massive thing, and that's our trust in God. When we say that we're going to trust God in every area of our life, what that means is every single decision that we make, yeah, there's going to be outcomes that affect different areas of our life. There's going to be outcomes that affect our finances. There's going to be outcomes that affect our job. There's going to be outcomes that affect our family and our future and where we live. But when we say, I'm going to trust God in every area of my life, we're saying, no matter what decision may come my way, I'm going to do the right thing because I know that God's going to take care of it. And when we do that, our box stays intact. We're not stabbing holes and putting slits in our box. Instead, we're standing on the firm foundation that is Jesus. And you say, the circumstances have nothing to do with the tough decisions that I've made. Well, no, listen. You practice dealing with life's circumstances when you face tough decisions. When you face tough decisions in your life, that's when you practice dealing with all of these things that you're facing. And you may be facing a terrible result on a test. You may be facing your parents grounding you, kids. You may be facing your house has a leak, or your parent passed away, or you got a terrible diagnosis. I don't know what life has given you, but it feels like a big old box of bricks. And if you want to be able to withstand it, keep your integrity intact. If you want to be able to withstand it, trust God in every area of your life. Travis, if you'll come and play. Joseph learned that he needed to do something vital, and that was put God in the very center of his life, in the middle of it all. With every decision, with every hardship, he kept in mind the power of God and what God can do. And the question that I'm going to ask you is, are you going to let life cut slits and holes in your integrity? Are you going to allow life to dictate your integrity? Or are you going to put Jesus at the center of your life? Is Jesus going to be the center of your life? That's not a question that I can answer for you. There's all of these opportunities to demonstrate putting Jesus in the center of your life. The question is when the next circumstance comes, are you going to do it? Are you going to put Jesus in the middle of it, regardless of the effect that it's going to have on your family's financial state, regardless of the decision that it's going to have on your relationship with your friend? Are you going to do the right thing? Are you going to allow Jesus to take control and keep your integrity intact so that you can withstand it? That's my question for you. Joseph did it. And as Pastor Dave said a second ago, life turned out pretty good for Joseph. God took care of him. God gave him authority. God used Joseph in an incredible way. And we're still telling that story today. So are you going to allow God to use you in incredible ways? Are you going to allow yourself to be used of Him? Are you going to keep your integrity intact? And are people going to be telling your story years from now about how you faced that one situation and you stood firm? How you faced that tough decision, but you made the right one anyway? With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're here today and the issue isn't so much that that your integrity is intact or not intact. The issue is that Jesus isn't in your life at all. You don't have the opportunity to demonstrate good integrity because you can't put Jesus in the middle of your life if He's not in your life. And so today, I don't know if you're here and maybe you've been running from God. Maybe you've been making terrible decisions. Maybe you've chosen to just throw integrity by the wayside and put life in your own hands and to take control and put it in your own hands. Take matters and just take care of it yourself. But if you're here today and you say, I want to put Jesus in the center of my life, would you just raise your hand? Yeah, I see you. I see you.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.